20th Century Reformation Hour, by transcription from Collingswood, New Jersey, with Dr. Carl McIntyre next. The time is 6:30.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody, wherever you are. This is Carl McIntyre. And we're going to concentrate, of course, now on our rally, our great big march in Washington on April the 6th. That's a Saturday. Our booster rallies around the country are going very nicely. I'll give you a report on some of them. We have some very interesting headlines to pass on to all of you that you'll be interested in. One is Burt sworn in as top Nixon aide. Kissinger fights trade bill curb. I have a beautiful letter here from Senator James B. Allen of Alabama. He's taking his stand alongside of Senator Sam Ervin and Senator Helms and the rest of them down there. I want to read it to you. And this means that we've broken into the state of Alabama with some real support for these First Amendment rights. I'm preparing now, in view of the action of the Congress, or rather the Committee on Interstate and Foreign Commerce. This is Holly Steiger's committee. We were shocked. We were amazed. We were, may I use the word, bowled over when that committee unanimously recommends and brings to the floor of the House for decision very soon this monstrous bill, which not only supports and endorses and backs the so-called fairness doctrine, but it moves into a whole or two additional areas and puts them into the law. And one of them is what they call the right of access, which gives any group, any person, anywhere, for any reason that they may think are significant, to tell a man they don't like the way he's running his radio station. And then the law says that the man must negotiate with him and to resolve the differences. And if he doesn't do it, then they can petition to the FCC to deny the license. Gives another club in the hands of these different groups, leftist, liberal, revolutionary, or whatever you want to call them, to go at radio stations and cause them trouble and harassment and money and delay, the form of intimidation which is going to affect the speech of the country. Now, I'm preparing, we're working on it right this very moment, a brief or a packet with this material in it to be presented to the members of the Congress. I want every one of you to get it. We've had this other packet on why Congress must act, and now we've got to have a bill or a statement here on why Congress must not act in turning over its powers to the Federal Communications Commission. I want everybody to see what's happening. This is going to be undoubtedly a very crucial decision when it comes to the floor of the House of Representatives. But those of us who love liberty, and that's the reason our march, they may even try to get this thing through the Congress before we have our march on April 6th. And I'm beginning to learn an awful lot, ladies and gentlemen, as to how the men in Congress pass the buck and evade facing these issues and coming squarely to grip with what is involved in the matters of speech, free speech. Folks, we've got to have the free exercise of religion. We've got to have this free speech. I don't have it anymore. I can't read names on this broadcast anymore. I can't identify groups or talk about them on this broadcast anymore. I can't give you people all manner of information that you're entitled to have. That's been taken away from us. The Federal Communications Commission has done that to us and to the station. We've lost our free speech. It's gone. And we've got to get it back, and we want the radio stations to have the same kind of freedom that your newspapers have. But now President Nixon, in his talk last Friday, you know what he said, it's in the newspapers now, he wants a so-called fairness doctrine to be clamped on the newspapers of the country, what he calls the right of reply. The same identical concept that's crushed us, and it's crushed the radio world, and it will crush the newspaper world. And every newspaper in this country ought to be represented at this big First Amendment rally that we're going to hold in Washington on April the 6th. Now let's have a word of prayer. I'm going to be dealing with this beautiful, beautiful book of Revelation. We preached on it yesterday in my own church. My own people are full of great joy. We're having a revival around here, with our every member canvass that I told you about when our church went out and oversubscribed its budget on a Sunday afternoon, and they brought in $14,000 more than they did last year in these pledges. Utterly magnificent. And folks, I'm telling everybody, you've got to tithe, you've got to give, you must bring your offerings, but don't cut back on the Lord. You want to cut back on anything, cut back on the potatoes you're eating. Cut back, but don't cut back on the Lord. Keep him up there where he belongs, and let's go ahead and save souls and evangelize and do the work of the Lord and maintain and build true churches which are separate from unbelief and apostasy without compromise, and let's be the kind of Christians that the Bible wants us to be. Now, let's have a word of prayer, everybody, and remember now, everybody is being asked to memorize Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. They're doing it down in Cape Canaveral. I had two wonderful meetings in Cape Canaveral. We had two buses that rolled in there from up in Binghamton and Johnson City, New York. People just thrilled. And we've got a busing program now since the gasoline shortage has affected some people and they're afraid to go to Florida and to get the blessings of our conference and see Disneyland and, of course, the Space Center and these things that God's given us there. But when people get down there to the great Bible conference and they see our beautiful city of Jerusalem, ladies and gentlemen, we have Jerusalem the Golden, and it is gold, golden in color, of course, and it is exactly like it was 2,000 years ago. Remember our trip to the Holy Land? We're having a Bible conference in the Holy Land where I'll be the speaker, May 3 to 13. We'll go right to the spot. Right to the places. There we'll take open our Bibles and we'll have our Bible conference in the Holy Land. The total cost is $795, and if you're interested in joining us, please get in touch with us immediately. May 3 to 13, 10 full days, a Bible conference with Dr. McIntyre there every day, and I'll be leading the conference in our study of the Word of God. Now, a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for the people who are listening, the people who are supporting us, the people who love us, and the people who recognize the nature of these attacks that are being made upon us to try to discredit us and hurt us and hinder people from recognizing that we're standing for great and glorious truths and ideals and principles and that we're in a cause. Give us our freedom back, O Lord. For the radio and the TV, may we again be able to speak as we once did before this Federal Communications Commission was able to kill a radio station and bring about the censorship that now reigns in the radio world. Father, give the people back their freedom so that they can have access to the kind of information that they're entitled to have in order to make their judgments and their decisions. May everybody, our Father, arise and help us in this hour of loss and of danger. We pray that thou wouldst be with the Congress, and we ask that this bill now that's to be presented to the floor of the Congress very soon will be defeated, that it will be turned back, that the Congress will not accept it, and that we can, instead of making the FCC more powerful and more dangerous to the stations and to the people, that we shall be able to have the same freedom that the newspapers have had. Father, protect the newspapers from these controls that President Nixon now is suggesting to the Congress. Give us a free press. Give us a press that will expose the water gates wherever they are. And help us, O Lord, to love freedom and to defend the rights of those who are under assault because they've done things and said something that somebody doesn't like. Help us, Lord, in this great struggle, for we ask it in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Will you memorize, will you please, get your Sunday school class or your prayer group at home or your morning prayers? Would you memorize, please, Revelation 1, 12 to 18? This is the book that presents Jesus Christ. The whole Bible does, of course, but this one is simply the revelation of Jesus Christ. And everything in it speaks of him. Everything in it points of him, points to him. And in chapter 1, you have this description as John saw him. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, he says, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Isn't that magnificent? And here he is in chapter 1. And then we see him through all the other chapters until we come to chapter 19. And here he gathers together his elect from one end of the heavens to the other. Here he gathers the armies of heaven, and he returns to this earth visibly. He's unveiled, and his feet stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. So in chapter 1, you have a description of him, and in chapter 19, you have the unveiling of him. And he comes then to destroy the Antichrist and the beast and the false prophet, takes the old dragon who is the devil, and they puts him in the lake of fire, ladies and gentlemen, and then he reigns and rules and gives us the kind of peace that men talk about and they long to have, but which is so elusive and which we will not be able to get until Jesus gives it to us. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, this book of Revelation just speaks of Jesus Christ. Oh, how you love him. Oh, how you believe in him. And he's coming back. And God began the order of creation as we see it in Genesis. And God is telling us now how he's going to complete the restoration and the redemption of a world that's been ruined by sin and wrecked by the iniquity of man. Oh, beloved, the book of Revelation just burns your heart and it thrills your soul. And Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming back, ladies and gentlemen. And he's going to raise the dead in the rapture. He's going to deal with the forces of iniquity on this earth in the seals and the trumpets and the vials which will be poured out. Now, yesterday morning, I preached on that eighth chapter where we see him as that eighth angel. He's the big high priest. He's ministering at the altar. He has the prayers of the saints, and he offers them up to God. That great angel is the angel of the Lord, and he has to be Christ, because the Christ is the only one who can take our prayers and present them to the Father. He's the only mediator we have between God and man. He has to be the Christ. And there we see him in our behalf, in behalf of all the saints, taking our prayers to the Father. And we have a great scene of judgment, justice being executed. And oh, how we love mercy and grace, but we do love justice. And there's going to be judgment poured out against the awful wickedness which men deserve and which this old world merits in its rebellion against God. While I was down in Florida on Friday and Saturday, they were reporting in the papers, you know, these streakers that you've begun to hear so much about, and there were several hundred of them streaking over there in a nearby place. And, of course, the Florida FSU, they were having their streakers. We've had these streakers all over the place. Now they're in Heidelberg University in Germany, and they're over in Oxford and Cambridge. They're streaking around. And folks, they just strip off completely naked, and then they begin to cavort and things of that sort. And you've got in this rebellion. This is rebellion. The same type of thing we had in these long-haired yippies and hippies that wanted to walk out and leave Asia to the communists and so forth, and we've seen one thing after another. Now, this shacking up of boys and girls in the same dormitories there at the University of Illinois, we read that story to you in these other places. It's just rebellion against the moral law, against the standards of decency and righteousness that our people have established over the years. But it's more than that. It's Sodom and Gomorrah. And we're ripening for the wrath and the judgment of God to fall upon this old earth, Sodom and Gomorrah. And ladies and gentlemen, you need broadcast. This broadcast that I'm giving you today is needed in this country. And you're going to help us, and you're going to have to go to Washington with us now. All manner of you are going to have to pick up and go down there and be with us in this great and this wonderful, wonderful march. It is called the First Amendment March. The First Amendment March. That is April the 6th, And you can get there by airplane. You can get there in one way or another. And I want you to get ready and begin to prepare for it and get your buses ready and all this sort of thing. Now I've got the reports of these different buses that people are getting together down in Tennessee and down in South Carolina and North Carolina and down in Florida. The buses are coming. And I'll be giving you some of these details. God bless every one of you. Now let me read you this story that's in the paper about Dean Burt, Washington, D.C., Associated Press. And this is in the Saturday's Sentinel Star of Orlando, Florida. Nixon congratulates Burt. That is the picture. Dean Burt, former chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, was sworn in Friday as a counselor to the president and a member of the cabinet. A member of the cabinet. Now, here's quite a twist, ladies and gentlemen. He gets to be a member of the cabinet sworn in under oath without the Senate approving it. Here's a detour of the Senate in adding to the cabinet another member. This is the Associated Press's story. Mr. Kissinger, as you know, when he was appointed Secretary of State and became a member of the cabinet, had to undergo questioning by the Senate Foreign Affairs Committee, and he had to be approved by the Senate. But here Birch gets in with cabinet rank being sworn in, and he is able, the president is successful in shielding him and protecting him from any Senate questioning. Had he had to appear before the committee of the United States Senate in order to be examined, I can assure you that the attorney in the WXUR case, Benedict Cotone, would have been over there to object to us. In fact, he told me he would have gone to the Senate and brought all this information out as to what Birch has done in crushing freedom and how Birch himself has been guilty of bugging the telephone lines of his own employees. That would have been brought to the attention of the Senate of the United States. But no, Birch is removed from the FCC. He's taken into the White House, sworn in, with the president congratulating him, quote, as, quote, a member of the cabinet. At an Oval Office ceremony, Mr. Nixon said Birch would handle a general range of assignments, including White House relations with independent agencies of the government, such as the Federal Communications Commission. Now, here Birch himself tells us that once he's in that White House, he's going to handle the relationships of that White House to the FCC. Now, what does that mean? Oh, you ladies and gentlemen, you people out there, you better wake up and recognize the pressures and the powers and the politics and the arrangements that are going on down there. And it's our opinion, just as certain as we're sitting here, that WXUR lost its license to operate because of somebody in the White House handling the general arrangements with the Federal Communications Commission. And thousands of people believe that today. I have here some excerpts from Kissinger's appearance before the Senate Finance Committee. And it's very interesting because Kissinger fights trade bill curbs. Secretary Kissinger told a Senate committee today that he would recommend a veto of the Nixon administration's own trade bills if Congress refused to grant trade concessions to the Soviet Union because of its restrictions on the free immigration of Jews and others. Testifying before the Senate Finance Committee, he made a strong and detailed plea for approval of the administration's 11-month effort to get Congress unconditionally to lift trade restrictions against the Soviet Union as part of the policy of improving relations. And then it goes on, Russia is to be granted the favored nation status. Unrestricted removal of all restraints, taking them off, open the doors wide. Now Kissinger goes on, I say this, and I'm quoting him, with some anguish, since both as an historian, as one whose whole origins makes him particularly conscious of the plight of minority groups, I would prefer that we could do otherwise. Now, here are the Jews suffering. They're being persecuted, as are the Christians. And Mr. Kissinger himself, of Hebrew origin, saying that he's sensitive in this area. But here he is taking off all restrictions so that Russia can be built up in her economic and her military might. And Russia, ladies and gentlemen, may I point out to you two things now in relationship to this. Russia is the one that made possible the aggression of the Arab nations against Israel. Russia gave them the military might to do so. And now Russia is to be rewarded by the United States with unrestricted trade. That's number one. Number two is, if I understand the prophecies of the end time, and I think we do in this area, little Israel is to be the center of trouble on down through until the last of that great tribulation period. And the great kings of the north, the king of the north, and it's going to be Russia. Gog and Magog. And this great power is going to come down with the awful slaughter of the Jews and will be the main dynamic force in the great battle of Armageddon. And here is Mr. Kissinger strengthening Russia militarily, economically. Here we are. And he's doing that. Of course, he doesn't understand the scriptures as we understand it, and you have that problem. But at least you and I are able to see what he's doing and what it's going to mean so far as the future is concerned. Now we have a story in the March 11th New York Times front page which tells us agricultural and economic experts agree in interviews over the last 3 weeks that a major reason for some of the sharp increases in food prices in recent years has been the sudden and vast expansion of agricultural exports from the United States. Most Americans are familiar with the Soviet purchase of 350 million bushels of wheat in the late summer of 72. That marked the beginning of the end of huge surpluses that had occurred for decades in the United States. But most of those interviewed during the last few weeks agreed that the Soviet grain deal was only the tip of the iceberg. Think of it, folks. The wheat deal, which has caused us the higher bread and everything else, these experts in agricultural and economic areas are telling us that's only the tip of the iceberg. We've been selling our stuff to these communist worlds. We've been giving this stuff away over there until we have depleted ourselves to such an extent that we are in serious, serious trouble. Now, I have here, which we are preparing to present to the Congress of the United States, this second big packet, and why Congress must not pass this bill. It's H.R. 12993, being presented by Harley Staggers. He's the chairman of the committee that will seek to see this bill through the Congress. It makes a more powerful, a more dangerous Federal Communications Commission than we have ever had before. It passes the buck over to the Federal Communications Commission in a whole new area of rulemaking, which is directed to be made by the law itself. And the FCC is going to be more dangerous, more powerful, more feared. And as one congressman put it, if this thing goes through, ladies and gentlemen, the radio stations will be at the mercy of the FCC as never before, and they will program to satisfy what they think the FCC will let them do or will let them do without trouble. May I read you this letter now from Senator James B. Allen of Alabama? It's to Mrs. Lillian A. Jowers, Route 1, Dixon Mills, Alabama. Dear Mrs. Jowers, it's dated February 28th, so it's of recent date. Thank you for your letter with the clippings attached. I am delighted that you enjoy my newsletter and the stands that I take on the items discussed therein. This is most gratifying, And I would, of course, welcome any views from you at any time regarding issues in which you are interested or about which you may be concerned. With reference to the Reverend Carl McIntyre matter, the clipping you enclosed with your letter points out that legislation has been introduced into both the Senate and the House of Representatives to restore radio station WXUR. And I will be happy to give the bill my support when it is being debated on the Senate floor. I am strong for the First Amendment freedoms, particularly the guarantee of free speech. With kindest regards, I am sincerely James B. Allen. All right, folks, we're going to have to get another letter like this from the second senator of the state of Alabama, and then the state of Alabama will line up alongside of the state of North Carolina. This is the way we're going to do it, folks. Our First Amendment rights of free speech and the free exercise of religion must be returned to the people. We must get out from under the pressures and the shadows of this all-powerful agency, which is controlled by unelected bureaucrats. Unelected bureaucrats. God bless you, folks, wherever you are. We thank God for you, and we want all of you now to get busy, and let's get down to Washington, D.C. just as fast as we possibly can. The date is April the 6th, and will all of you please, every one of you please, plan with your groups, your prayer groups, your state committees that we have, your various radio committees. You can't miss this great First Amendment march. The real reason that Dr. McIntyre's had his wings clipped and he can't talk as he used to talk is that McIntyre was striking fire on these vital issues that relate to the religious life of the nation, and especially to my strong stand against the communists. No, we've got to silence the anti-communists so Mr. Kissinger can go on down the road with his program of granting to Russia unrestricted trade with the United States. Here's one of the leaflets that just came in. Citizens from McIntyre, Greenville, South Carolina. It's time to attend the First Amendment March in Washington. Greyhound bus the First Amendment March, and here's their whole relief and their story about it. And they're going to be bringing up this bus from Greenville. They've been traveling all night, getting into Washington, D.C. in the morning of the 6th. And it's a round trip of $27, and they'll fill up that bus from Greenville. All right, Greenville. All right, Columbia. All right, Charleston, South Carolina. Come on, folks. You'll see something. Get your banners. We want a beautiful big banner. South Carolina believes in the First Amendment. Alabama supports the First Amendment. North Carolina thanks God for Senator Irvin and Senator Helms. Come on. Let's fill up these banners. And what will Tennessee have to say? And what will Illinois have to say? What will Michigan have to say? Come on, folks. It's the First Amendment March, April the 6th. You'll miss one of the greatest experiences of your lifetime to see us down there by the scores and by the hundreds, and we'll have many, many thousands of people are coming in. Now, you people in these various areas, I want you to notice that Dr. McIntyre and Wes Auger and Jim Nichols and the rest of us are out in great rallies. But on the 14th, that will be this Thursday, you folks out in York County, Pennsylvania, will be at the Bible Presbyterian Church at 7:30. That is on the Springwood Road. On the 15th, which is Friday, we'll be in the Graham Road School, Falls Church, Virginia, Northern Virginia, and the Washington, D.C. area. On March the 20th, we'll be down in Nashville, Tennessee, speaking at the Underwood Auditorium at Vanderbilt University. On March the 22nd, Hollidaysburg, Pennsylvania, near Altoona, at the Hollidaysburg Junior High School, another 8 p.m. rally. Then we're going to be on March the 25th at 7:30 in the Grace Baptist Church down there in Norfolk, Virginia. East Sewell's Point Road, Norfolk, Virginia. Don Carnes, the pastor. Then March the 26th, we'll be in the Lane College Center, Frostburg State Teachers College, Frostburg, Virginia. These are just a few of the rallies. We're going to be out virtually every evening in one of these big booster rallies, looking forward to the great First Amendment March. Folks, please send Dr. McIntyre a contribution for the march. We only have the gift of God's people. Please get your gift in for my orphans. We haven't gotten that yet.
Write your contribution to the local committee to be used on this particular station for broadcast. That's Box 962 in Billings, Montana. The 20th Century Reformation Hour.